Welcome, everybody, to the 30th edition of 3 Up, 3 Down. It is 3U, 3D, 3O for tonight. I am in a wonderful mood. The Braves become the first one of our teams to qualify for the postseason on a Freddie Freeman walk-off memo to defeat the Marlins, go into the postseason, winning it for Chipper. Chris Medlin wins his 22nd straight start, while the Braves win a 22nd straight start by Medlin. Medlin didn't win them all, tying Whitey Ford and Carl Hubbell's record for most consecutive starts won by one team. Nothing's going to bring me down tonight, but let's see if these guys can do something anyway to try and bring me down. Let me introduce my roundtable baseball associates once again for this week, starting it off with Angelo Felicia representing the AL Central.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going over to Brian Boynton representing the American League West.
Hello, everyone.
Going to KP, Kurt Peter representing the National League Central.
And the 2-1 Green Bay Packers.
Oh, I see what you did there. And Jeremy Dorn representing the National League West.
KP, I think by rule it was a touchdown. I'm just messing with you.
And I am the merely very excited Brian Mapes going to the playoffs. Already trying to plot out where I can road trip to figure go watch the Braves in the playoffs. Hopefully they get a series with the Nationals and I can drive down to D.C. But we're going to start it off with Dusty Baker. Comes out news today that he had a mini stroke last week. He was in the hospital for some health problems. He is out of the hospital. KP, the Reds have clinched a playoff spot. How big of a deal would it be to not have their manager for October?
I mean, they've been playing well lately. It is obviously a big deal. He's been coaching for the last 5 years. I was reading an article, and it says, like Bronson Arroyo had mentioned, that it's kind of weird having to be in the middle of a playoff, I mean, playoff time going into October without your manager that's been in the dugout for the last 5 years, especially with health problems. But Chris Spier looks to probably be taking over for close to the rest of the regular season. Dusty Baker, everyone's talked to Dusty Baker. Ron Renneke said he's talked to Dusty Baker. He sounds pretty good. He lost a lot of water weight, I guess, from it. And I mean, he sounds pretty good, but he's not quite ready to come back yet. Maybe by the last series against the Cardinals, but hopefully, I guess, for the Reds, that he'll come back for the postseason and they can make a little push behind their surging and healthy coach.
Worked out well for the Reds, at least, that they've already clinched a playoff spot, not trying to clinch one here with Dusty Baker out. They are still in contention, though, for home field advantage throughout the playoffs, as they currently are tied for the best record in baseball with the Washington Nationals. So the Reds still do have something to play for in these last 8 games of the season. Dusty Baker's not back yet, but 3 players did come back for contending teams in the playoffs this past week. Andy Pettit has thrown 11 scoreless innings since returning for the Yankees. Chris Carpenter returns for the Cardinals. And last week, Jeremy almost jumped off a bridge thinking Clayton Kershaw could be done for the season. He comes back from that hip injury to pitch for the Dodgers. Pettit, Carpenter, Kershaw, 3 pitchers. Which one is the most important to their team trying to make the playoffs? We'll start it off with Jeremy.
I mean, they're all exceptionally important. The guy I've got to go with, I guess, geez, man, I'm tempted to say Kershaw just because he's my boy, but, you know, I really think it's got to be Pettit because the Yankees have had pitching problems all year. They were carried by Hiroki Kuroda while CC Sabathia was hurt. CC Sabathia came back, and he's been, you know, up and down. He's been okay. Kuroda's been not as good as he was when Sabathia was hurt. And that's, you know, unless they get some random good starts from Nova or something like that, it's been pretty spotty. And despite all the lack of big names on the Dodgers and Cardinals staffs, they've been very, very solid for most of the year. So I think they would be okay without their guys if they made it to the playoffs, but I don't know. I think that it's a tougher go the way that the American League is playing right now for the Yankees if they don't have them.
Ryan, over to you. Which of those pitchers is the most important to their team during this stretch run?
I'd have to agree with Jeremy on this. I think Andy Pettit is the most important to his team because there's a reason he's the most has the most wins for in the postseason for a pitcher ever. He shines in the spotlight. He likes pitching in October. He's great at it. Plus, like Jeremy said, their pitching has been up and down for most of the season. They're carried by their offense. When you get into October, you face everybody's number one, two, and three pitcher. You may not be able to get the runs that you're getting in the regular season to carry, for lack of better words, lackluster pitching staff.
Angelo, over to you. Which pitcher is the biggest key for their team trying to make the postseason?
I also have to agree with Brian and Jeremy and think that it'd be Andy Pettit just because moving forward, they could use a good arm like he's, you know, has he's had as of late. Kershaw is only going to help him if they make the playoffs, and those chances are, you know, keep dwindling for the Dodgers, unfortunately, for Jeremy. So I think it's definitely Pettit.
KP, final word. Which of these pitchers is the most important to you for these playoff teams, potential playoff teams?
Since you said word, I'll just stick with one word. Pettit.
All right. Going to go over to Miguel Cabrera. He's been the big talk this week as he tries to hunt down the Triple Crown. Actually, at one point, he held all three titles, RBIs, home runs, and batting average, was tied with Josh Hamilton. Josh Hamilton came back from sinus infections caused by having too much caffeine in his system to retake the home run lead. Guys, do we think Miguel Cabrera gets the Triple Crown? We'll start it off with the Tigers fan, Angelo.
I think he does, and I know it's wishful thinking a little bit, but this is the reasoning behind why I think Cabrera will get the Triple Crown. I think he's pretty much a lock for average, as long as he doesn't have a bunch of offers coming out in the next few games. RBIs, he needs to produce if the Tigers are going to make the playoffs, and every game does matter from here on out. As soon as the Rangers clinch the division, they might give Hamilton some rest, and that might get Cabrera just enough time to get that tying home run or that, you know, one up on Hamilton for home runs, and I think that's why Cabrera will be your Triple Crown winner.
Jeremy, over to you. Do you think Miguel Cabrera can become the first Triple Crown winner since Carl Yastrzemski in 1967?
Yeah, Angela, I don't think it's wishful thinking. Really, I mean, it is, but I don't think it's far-fetched at all. The, you know, like you said, I think he has a pretty good stranglehold on average. I think he's going to keep the lead in RBIs, and I think it's really going to come down to a home run race between him and Hamilton. And, I mean, you know, they're both capable of knocking a few out of the yard any given night, and we've seen it happen before this season, but the way that they're both swinging the bat individually right now, you have to give the edge to Cabrera over pretty much anyone in the majors. And you know that the Tigers are playing, you know, the Royals and the Twins, all these, you know, the bottom feeder teams for the rest of the season, whereas the Rangers, at least for their next, you know, to finish out September, they have the A's and Angels, which, you know, are two of the better pitching staffs in the American League. So, yeah, I definitely think it's very realistic. I hope it happens, and I think it will.
KP, over to you. Do you think Miguel Cabrera, El Pollo Loco, I just made that up. I don't know why I called him the crazy chicken. El Miggy Poco, that's the nickname I'm thinking of. Do you think he gets the Triple Crown?
I think he has a certain chance, but I know, or I feel like Mapes will bring up this stat. It kind of comes back to the MVP talk. I know that I saw you tweet it out today that even though four, I think, other guys have won the Triple Crown who haven't won the MVP, so I know it'll bolster his resume for that. And I think that he'll certainly have a shot at it, especially if he doesn't play in Detroit. but, yeah, I mean, he's obviously in the thick of things, and I think he can make it happen.
Yeah. Ted Williams has two Triple Crown seasons and didn't win the MVP in either of those seasons. There's precedent there. I believe Joe DiMaggio was cost a Triple Crown. I can't think of it right now. My mind is going to mush, but I know Ted Williams, there were two others that won the Triple Crown. There have been four Triple Crown seasons that did not win the MVP, so there's precedent there for Mike Trout to still be the MVP, even though Miguel Cabrera could win the Triple Crown, but that is a complete another discussion that we will have next week when we break down our MLB awards. I'm going to go over to Brian. Brian, he's trying to chase down Josh Hamilton in home runs. Does Mikel, we were talking about Josh Hamilton as a potential Triple Crown 3 months ago. He fell off. Do you think Miguel Cabrera can get the Triple Crown here?
Well, Hamilton himself today said he's actually rooting for Miguel Cabrera to get the Triple Crown. It would be awesome to see. I mean, granted, there hadn't been Triple Crown since any of us have been alive. So it'd be really cool to see. And, you know, like Angelo said, if the Rangers do win, they're going to want Hamilton healthy for the postseason. So the chance of him playing a complete game, every game, is not very likely. They'll probably pull him every game in the sixth or seventh inning. So I could see Cabrera doing, considering Hamilton actually hasn't been hitting all that well. I know he hit a home run yesterday, but he hasn't been hitting well for about the last month. So, yeah, Cabrera's going to get it in average. He's going to have the RBIs. It's all a matter of whether Hamilton gets really hot and starts hitting home runs or not.
It's still close to me. I'm going to be the contrarian and say he doesn't get it because I'm not sure he can get the home runs. It's going to be colder in Detroit. Ball doesn't travel as far. And there's still two guys behind Miguel Cabrera, Adam Dunn and Edwin Encarnacion, that could hit some home runs here in this last week and actually pass Miguel Cabrera himself. It's going to be close, but I'm going to be the contrarian and say Miguel Cabrera does not get the Triple Crown, mainly because I want to help Mike Trout win the MVP. Going to go over to This Week in Tommy John. And good news, nobody needs Tommy John this week. It's fantastic. Chad Billingsley, who we thought might need it, apparently will not need it as of now. But we want to celebrate it anyway. Today, September 25th, the 38th anniversary of the first Tommy John surgery, of course, done on pitcher Tommy John. So thanks for helping out all our pitchers torn UCL ligaments. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Small things.
That's true. Going to move over. We saw the World Baseball Classic qualifying start over in Jupiter, Florida, and in Germany. Canada advances 11-1 over Germany in the final of that pool, while Spain tops Israel 9-7 in extra innings to advance to the next round in the World Baseball Classic. So, got to hand it to Canada and Spain getting the job done, advancing the Canadian team. Very impressive in their pool. Will only get stronger when they get players like Joey Votto and Brett Lawrie onto the team, potentially for the World Baseball Classic Finals. Our last little bit over on our blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com. A lot of good stuff up. Some memes. Is it memes or memes?
Memes.
Memes? Whatever. Why is it spelled memes? I've always called them memes.
Oh,
it's spelled
my God.
Like memes or whatever.
Memes?
It's memes?
Meme.
Whatever. I'm not that technologically.
Or may, if you're from the South.
I'm not from the South. I'm from Connecticut.
I was just making an excuse.
No, we say memes. All right.
We say memes.
Over there, Jeremy made some. If MLB had replacement umpires, thank God they don't. Angelo and KP breaking down the Milwaukee meat parfait for Chow and Down, and my blog on the play of the year defensively this season. You can take a look. I couldn't resist a top 10. I gave a top 13 plays, resisted only having one Mike Trout play on the list. But, guys, what do you think is the best defensive play you've seen so far this season? We'll start it off with KP.
I mean, it's hard to argue against any of the catches that Mike Trout has made. I do think that Rajai Davis climbing up the wall was perfect timing. I mean, it was incredible because he's a tiny little guy and he climbed all the way up the damn wall and hit it perfectly. And I also get impressed with infield plays, so I forgot who it was that rolled on his head and spit it out.
Really,
yeah. I mean, that was awesome, too. It's hard to pick and choose between plays of the year. The timing of the dive in center field at San Francisco to save the perfect game. I mean, that's obviously the best timed, awesome play of the year. But I definitely think Mike Trout has shown impressive. And he comes off so excited about it all the time. I love watching him make those plays.
All right. Angelo, over to you. What's your MLB Defensive Player of the Year so far?
Well, I mean, the Trout play was pretty sweet. And so was the diving catch by Pagan, too. But I'm going to go with my hometown boy, Quinton Berry, on that leaping catch running backwards in Minnesota. I just think that it takes a tremendous amount more of, I guess, control of your body trying to make that catch running away from the, you know, away from the field, away from the plate.
Brian, over to you. What do you think is the quote-unquote web jam of the year?
Watching Adrian Beltre take the field every day. No, I'm just kidding. You left off one, the Reddick one, where he climbed on the fence and had to hang there for a second. I thought that one was a really good one that you left off the list. But, yeah, the Angel Pagan one was great. Of course, any catch that Trout made climbing over the fence was pretty awesome. So it's really tough to pick any of them. But yeah, I'd have to go with Trout.
They're all so good. Jeremy, over to you. Are you going to pick one of the Giants plays?
Nah. I mean, they were both really cool, really great, especially the one in the perfect game. That's always huge. I'm torn between Trout, you know, the catch, the one that everyone's talking about where his waist hit the top of the fence or whatever. That was ridiculous. But I'm going to show some love to my Dodgers because I think everyone's going to forget about this play for two reasons. It was way early in the season, first of all, and it's Justin Sellers, who is – nobody knows who that is. He was playing shortstop for us at some point because everyone was hurt. But anyway, it was the play where he made the catch over the shoulder on the run in foul territory and flipped over into the stands, kind of Jeter-esque. Just didn't come out with as many cuts on his face. So I think that one's forgotten about. You should all check it out on the blog because it's awesome. The Dodgers need something, all right? Just something.
It is a fun play. I love the Sellers play. I'm going with Mike Trout where he jumped over the wall in Baltimore. I'm biased still. The Rajai Davis climbing the wall was absolutely insane. And some love for the minor leaguers, Jason Repko robbing that grand slam where he flipped over the wall and crashed, robbing a grand slam of Kosuke Fukudome. Just so many great plays. I love defensive excellence. It makes me happy. Going to move over to 3-up, 3-down fantasy for this week. The last week of 3-up, 3-down fantasy. We hope you made the finals of your head-to-head leagues or you're pushing towards a rotisserie league title. Going to give you all pitchers that'll have two good starts, we think, for the rest of the season. And 3-down, we're going to give you starters that will only have one start, and we don't really like that start. You should bench them, possibly, unless you're desperate. Going to start it off with Brian, who has a pitcher in the American League West who has two intriguing starts.
Yeah, it's none other than A.J. Griffin, starting pitcher for the Oakland A's. He's going this Friday against Seattle in a must-win for Oakland. I guess every game here on out is a must-win for Oakland, being that the magic number for the Rangers is still at 5 after today's game. But he's going up against Seattle at home, it looks like. And he's been on a roll lately. He's got a 2.80 ERA for the season. He's 6-1, 60 Ks, 105 WHIP. So he's been pretty much lights out ever since he came up for the A's, and they could really use him because his next start is facing off against the Rangers next week at home in what could be a very deciding game for them for their chances of making the postseason or making the wild card game or clinching the division if the Rangers fall off, which I hope really doesn't happen.
Yeah, you gotta like those matchups, especially if the Rangers do clinch a playoff spot and they're locked into that division series, that they'll rest some players when they lock up the division. A.J. Griffin owned in just 39% of fantasy leagues. You especially have to like the start against Seattle as well. Gonna go over to the next 3-up pitcher. Angelo, a former AL Central pitcher, moved away from there this year, but he still has a couple nice starts at home. Who is that guy?
We're going to go with Mark Burley on this one. This month he's had fair amount of success, I guess. He's had, although just one win, but the Marlins really haven't been playing them well, so he hasn't been getting the run support, unfortunately. He is starting on Friday at home against the Phillies. Unless the Ozzie Guillen switches around the rotation, it looks like he'll pitch again the last game of the year at home against the Mets. Both games he'll pitch are against teams without playoff implications, but he'll still be able to close out and have a pretty successful first season in Miami with a chance to go, 15-13. That's his record. Yeah, 15-13.
He's 13-13 right now. He'll help you out in the whip department, 1.19 whip this season. The K's aren't there, but he should still be able to get a few against those two teams. Going to go to my three-up player for this week, who has two starts left on the season against the Mets and against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have completely continued their downfall, and we're not even sure if they'll finish 500 now. I'm going with Mike Minor, who has given up two earned runs or less in each of his last four starts. The Braves have clinched the wild card spot, though, but they're still playing hard to try and get out of that one game playoff and into the divisional series as the NL East champion. So they will still be playing hard. I like Mike Minor facing two offenses that aren't very strong in the Mets and the Pirates. Gonna go over to three down now. Started off with a pitcher who has been a complete disappointment this entire season and gets hit one of his biggest nemesis. Okay. He's going to face a team he doesn't like to face.
There we go.
Jeremy, who is that guy?
That is John Lester. You're right. He has been a disappointment, as his whole team has been, but you know, you still always have high hopes for the staff ace, and I'm a big fan of Lester usually. Glad I didn't draft him this year because he's been an absolute mess, but it's never really a good sign when you've been pitching pretty well lately and your ERA drops. Big old drop down to 4.96. That's not good news. But either way, you know, he's just been off all year, and he has one start left against the Yankees on Monday. So, you know, that's not something you want to mess around with. The Yankees are going to, you know, they have that offense. They have the potent offense, and you don't want Lester, your pitcher on fantasy, to have anything to do with that lineup, especially in crunch time when the playoffs are right around the corner, especially if the Yankees are, you know, not clinched yet. That's going to be a hungry, hungry team, and you know, the way Lester's been throwing, he's not a guy you want to see starting if you're in a championship round of your fantasy.
I'd even go as far as saying if you have John Lester, I'd go ahead and drop him, especially if I can get my hands on AJ Griffin or Mike Minor to try and squeeze out two starts. Going to go over to the next three-down pitcher, a player who might even be getting some Cy Young votes this season in the National League, but he has an interesting start left. Going to go over to KP, who is the NL Central three-down pitcher for this week.
Yeah, it's Cardinals pitcher Kyle Loesch, who you might be thinking, three down? Why three down? He's 16-3 with a 2.77 ERA. But you also have to keep in mind that the Cardinals could be playing for a spot in the playoffs, maybe, or they could have already clinched it. I mean, he might go out and just need to throw five innings of decent ball. I mean, they might not be trying to win every game out if they've already clinched the wild card. He's been lights out as of late. His career against the Nationals isn't too great. He's got a 5.16 ERA, which is not too fancy, if you ask me. A 1.236 WHIP career against the Nationals. I mean, plus, the Nationals are going to be swinging the bats. I mean, they got a powerful lineup behind Bryce Harper, Ryan Zimmerman. I mean, the whole team can hit. So just be cautious. You shouldn't sit him, but you should also not maybe lock him in if it's a really close matchup close into your late fantasy finals.
Yeah, Kyle Loesch, one start against the Nationals this season, gave up five earned runs, eight runs, five of them earned, with two home runs in 5 2/3. It's not a team that he likes to face, and when you're in this kind of year, this time of year, excuse me, where you're trying to get every stat possible, you might be wary of starting Kyle Loesch, who has been absolutely fantastic this year. going to go to the last three down pitcher who only has one start left. And of course it's against Brian's team, the Texas Rangers. Brian, who is your three down pitcher for this week?
Angels starter Ervin Santana, who, if you've watched a lot of his starts, you know that on any given day he can be really good, or any given day he can be really bad. Well, his next game is against the Rangers this weekend in Arlington, where historically the Rangers have, to say the least, owned him in their home ballpark. I mean, he's pitched there once this year. He gave up, I think he pitched six innings, gave up four or five runs. But his ERA on the season is 4.93. He's 9-12 on the year. And he just, for whatever reason, he just doesn't seem to have it when he comes to Arlington. So, granted, it may just be the bats in the lineup see him really well. I don't know. But he pitches better at home. But seeing that it's in Arlington, I wouldn't play him this weekend.
All right, that'll do it for three up, three down. Next week, we will give you our three up, three down fantasy, three surprises and three disappointments from this past fantasy season. Maybe give you some guys we like for next season as well that might be not getting a lot of publicity right now. I'll throw one out there right now. Willian Rosario, really like him. Going to end up with 30 home runs as a catcher. He'll be good for next season. I like him in Coors Field. Going to go over to our last segment, and we're going to play a little Dead or Alive. Cue the Bon Jovi music right now. It's like we're on the deadliest catch. But it's Dead or Alive with teams that still have hopes of making the playoffs, and I will just throw it out to each of you. I'm going to start off in the National League, the Pirates and the D-backs, 7.5 games out and 6 games out with 8 to play. Are these guys dead or alive? Started off with KP.
They're definitely dead. Considering I feel like the Brewers are almost dead, I feel like they are extremely dead. I mean, they'll have to go undefeated and have the Red Sox, I mean, not the Red Sox, the Cardinals lose out pretty much, including Milwaukee and the Dodgers and Philadelphia. So, yeah.
Angela, over to you. Dead or alive, Pirates and D-backs?
Oh, they're definitely dead. That's just way too many games in such a short amount of time to catch up. That's not going to happen.
Jeremy, dead or alive, D-backs and Pirates?
Yeah, they're super dead. They're not just like recently deceased. They're toast completely. I just hope the Pirates get 81 wins.
You're already shit. Well, that was going to be the next question. Brian, over to you. Dead or alive, Pirates and D-backs?
They're both dead. There's too much of that would have to go their way for them to make the playoffs.
All right, quick yes or no. Pirates, 2 games under 500 right now, did beat the Mets tonight. Dead or alive on a 500 season for the first time since 1992. Gonna go Jeremy first.
Alive. They're gonna do it, I hope.
KP, dead or alive 500 season for the Pirates?
Dead.
Brian, over to you.
Alive.
Oh.
And Angelo, dead or alive, the Pirates going 81 and 81.
Alive.
Good news, though. We all hit the over on the Pirates. We all had that. That was a 3U 3D lock.
As we should have.
Boom.
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 What you know about preseason stats?
That we will be breaking down next week as well to see who actually did the best on over-unders and let you know how the 3U 3D quote-unquote locks went. Next team, Philadelphia Phillies, 5.5 games out with 8 to play. Dead or alive, Angelo?
Dead.
Brian?
Dead.
Jeremy?
Deceased.
KP?
Let's just say the heart's not pumping any more blood.
All right. I think they are mostly dead. It's like in The Princess Bride, where he's not fully dead, but they're mostly dead. They might be able to be resuscitated. They still have the pitching, but it's going to be nearly impossible for that. Over to KP's team, the Milwaukee Brewers, 4.5 games out of the second wild card. Dead or alive, KP?
Well, it's just a flesh wound. But I think it'll be tough.
Jeremy, over to you, dead or alive for the Brewers.
It's a nearly fatal wound, I think, KP. The schedule, I mean, 5 more games in a row, right, against the Reds and Nats. I don't know. I think it's too much.
Angelo, Brewers, dead or alive?
I think they have a small breath of them left.
And Brian, dead or alive on the Brew Crew?
They're on life support in a coma, so they're fighting, but we'll find out. I'm gonna go dead.
And the last team, Jeremy's Dodgers. Jeremy, are you dead or are you alive? Four games out.
I'm gonna fight till the bitter end. I think we're grasping too. You know, we're very close to being dead, but I'm gonna hang on. I think we're barely alive as well. We got an easier schedule.
Brian, over to you. Dodgers, dead or alive?
Oh man, they'd have to win out. They're dead. They'd have to win out.
KP, over to you.
I think they're more dead than the Brewers, so.
Angelo, Dodgers, dead or alive?
I think they're almost in the same boat as the Brewers because the Cardinals played the Reds and the Nationals left, and at least the Dodgers and the Brewers are the Padres.
All right, and I think the Dodgers are in trouble, especially if they lose this game tonight against the Padres that they are currently losing. I think that might be start to shovel some dirt on the grave of the Dodgers, but that means if you're a Cardinals fan, you must be feeling pretty good about getting into that wild card game and taking your chances. There's something weird about the Cardinals and going on crazy runs like in 2005 and 2011. But it's okay. You can't bring me down tonight because the Braves are in the playoffs, baby. Woohoo! This is great. All right, going to go to the AL side. And not as many teams alive, remotely alive. They're all dead. But a few teams still alive. Gonna go with the Rays. 3 games back with 8 to play. Are the Rays dead or alive? Gonna go with Angelo.
I think they're alive.
Brian, over to you. Rays, dead or alive?
They're still alive, especially if the Rangers take care of business against Oakland.
Jeremy, over to you on the Rays.
Beep. Ooh, that sounds like no heartbeat.
KP, over to you. Do the Rays still have a heartbeat?
It's slightly beating, and I think that they have a little late-season magic always in them, even though they play in front of no fans. But there's a little bit of hope.
I will give the Rays hope, especially after last season. I still think they're alive. They're going to make this thing interesting. I'm still waiting for Baltimore, all these teams to just tie. The Yankees, Baltimore, A's, Rays, and Angels, they all just tie. It'll be amazing.
And the White Sox.
Going to go over to the Angels, currently winning 5-2. Theoretically, let's give them that win. 2.5 games out with 8 to play. Do you think the Angels are more alive than the Rays? Jeremy, do they get a boop, boop, boop?
They are as dead as the NFL referees are to me.
Wow. Over to KP. KP really thinks the replacement refs are dead to him. So we'll see what he thinks here. Angels, dead or alive?
I still think they're alive. I mean, they're fighting, and they have a powerful lineup, and anything can happen with them. I mean, I can't believe that they're still not in it. I mean, there's so many good teams there at the top of the AL, but I still think they have a shot.
Brian, over to you. Are your Rangers going to help them out and keep them alive here?
I surely hope not, because after the loss today, we're going to have to clinch on Friday. So I hope we win on Friday and clinch. So I hope the Angels don't make it, because I'd really have to hate to have to face that rotation and that lineup in the playoffs. But, yeah, they're alive.
Angelo, over to you. Angels dead or alive here?
I think they're alive, but I hope they're dead.
I'm going to say that they're alive. Still got to love that rotation. They have probably the best player in baseball in Mike Trout. They're alive. And our friend Ricardo Marquez is probably going crazy every night in the fan cave. A's still have two left with the Mariners, and then they go at the Rangers for three, at the Mariners for three. It's very nice. Baseball Tonight on my TV in front of me just popped up the schedule as I'm talking about it. It was very nice of them. Good job, Carl Ravage. Last little bit. We're not going to play dead or alive because both of these two are alive. Eight games left. White Sox, Tigers. Who you got? Or I'll let you pick the option of a one-game playoff. Going to start it off with Angelo.
I'm going to take the Tigers, obviously, but I think this is how I think. If the Rays and the White Sox split 2-2 this weekend, I think it goes to game 163. If the White Sox win that series 3-1, the White Sox just might win that series, a division. And if the White Sox lose that series of the Rays, the Tigers will win the division.
There you go. Breaking it down scientifically. Brian, over to you. White Sox, Tigers, game 163.
Well, Detroit's got the more favorable matchup going. They got two more against the Royals, and then they go to the Twins. White Sox had the Indians and Rays. I think Detroit's going to ultimately come out to win the division.
KP, over to you. White Sox, Tigers, or a playoff?
I agree. I think Detroit will make it in the regular season. I think that Verlander is not going to let that happen to his precious little team there in Detroit.
Jeremy, over to you. Last thoughts. White Sox, Tigers, or a playoff?
Well, for two reasons. I think the Tigers have an easier schedule. That'll help. And I just really, really believe in El Pollo Loco over there.
El Mickey Poco. I'm sorry. Mess it up. I'm kind of sick. I'm tired. It's late. I'm still high off of the Braves victory. We're going to the playoffs. None of you are yet.
You're a jerk.
I'm rooting for the one game playoff just because I think it'd be fun.
Absolutely.
But I think the Tigers are going to get there. The schedule's too easy. And man, are those Tigers going to be a dangerous team, because they're going to get the Central, so they won't have to play in that one game playoff. And they can set that rotation to face the Yankees. Maybe I won't sell those Game 3 tickets that I got to the Division Series. If it's Yankees-Tigers, it'd be really good. Sorry, tangent.
If there is a Game 163, it's set up for Sale versus Verlander at Comerica.
Oh, dear God.
So be thankful, be happy for me, because I'll be going.
And I was going to say, your season ticket's coming in handy.
Exactly. I already have the tickets. And the other part you just said about the Yankees is I like the matchup, too, especially given the new format for the divisional series. It's 2-3. The first two games are home for the lower seed, in which case the Tigers would be home for the first two games, and then going on the road for a possibility of three games in New York.
Yeah, that was my strategy. I thought the Yankees would be the higher division seed, so I bought game three. I'm not sure if I'm going to sell them yet, but we'll see how it goes. Depends how much money crazy Yankee fans offer me where I live. But that's another story. That's going to do it, though, for 3 Up, 3 Down this week. We hope you have a wonderful last week of the season, whether your team's in contention, whether your team's trying to spoil them, whether your fantasy team is trying to take home a title. We wish you the best of luck in all of those endeavors. For Angelo Felicia, Jeremy Dorn, Kurt Peter, Brian Boynton, I am Brian Mapes. Sorry we ran out of time. We will get to Eddie Mata the next time. Make me a liar. One thing.
disaster.